So tell me, when we talk about how a spike in crime, how dramatic is it?
Well, like you said, it's nearly 70%, and that was over the course of 1 year. So from 2014 to 2015, homicides went from 32 to 53. So it's pretty dramatic.
So some of the people that you reported with, I want to play some comments that you collected while you were reporting. The first one is about how difficult it is to actually find officers to fill these positions. Let's hear from Savannah Police Chief Joseph Lumpkin.
Many good officers probably left because they didn't like what was occurring. We have authorized 605 positions sworn, but the former human resource director told me that we had not been at full staff in over 15 years.
Let's bring another voice into this conversation. Frederick Green is the support and outreach coordinator for the End Gun Violence Initiative in Savannah. It's good to have you with us, Frederick.
Good morning.
So what Gabby is talking about and what you heard from some of the people here in Savannah in terms of not feeling safe or feeling like there's parts of the city you just don't go into at certain times, is that a recent development?
No, I think that it's been over the years, and I think that the city is, I know that the city is making strong initiatives to be able to move forward to addressing the crime issue.
So Gabrielle spoke with Kim Dulick. She ran for city council unsuccessfully. This is after several stray bullets actually flew through her kitchen window at some point. She says that it's time for the citizens to step in because the city is not.
People are fed up, and if things aren't going to change, we can make it happen ourselves.
So she has started the grassroots efforts, the Savannah Peace Initiative. Why do citizens feel like they need to step in?
Because it's a community affair, it's a community issue, and the community need to step in order to help address the problem. A lot of the individuals who may be perpetrating these crimes live within our community, live within the homes. So therefore, the community has to address the problem.
And yet, Gabby, one of the things that you found in your reporting is that the relationship between the community and the police isn't so great. So let's take a listen to, again, Savannah Police Chief Joseph Lumpkin. He's only been on the job for a little over a year. Here he is talking about some of the issues.
One of the challenges we face, and it's a significant challenge, is the loss of public trust and legitimacy from the police. Worse, I've seen it in the four or five departments that I have been a member of. Some corruption issues that occurred. People were imprisoned.
So you already mentioned the former police chief, Willie Lovett. He was actually convicted on charges of extortion and gambling in 2014, I think. Is that what Sheriff, the police chief Lumpkin, attributes the loss of trust to?
He largely does attribute it to that. And it's really a multitude of things resulting from the corruption in the police department. The loss of public trust is the citizens not feeling like they can really talk to the police, at least from what I found in my reporting. The citizens don't really feel empowered to necessarily go to the police and say what they found. But then also, criminals are very aware when there's corruption in the police department, when the job isn't being done, when people aren't being arrested. Criminals know that. And in Savannah, what we've seen is a large spike in gang-related type of violence. They call it group violence. They're not nationally affiliated gangs, but they are groups of individuals that, for whatever reason, are joining together. It could be drugs, it could be territorial reasons, and we've seen a large increase in that in Savannah. And it's not that it's a lot of people, but they're not really being arrested, which is something else that I found out from Joseph Lumpkin. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's an issue. So, Frederick, here is a clip of Detective Robert Sambutoro of the Violent Crimes Unit. This is from a video from the End Gun Violence Initiative. He's talking about the lack of communication between the public and law enforcement, which I feel comes right out of what Gabby's talking about. Take a listen.
Everybody's afraid that something's going to happen to them, or they're afraid of going to court, or I don't know where the fear comes in, but I think it's a lot of fear and it's a lot of just kind of not knowing. For me as an investigator, that's the most difficult thing of my job. It's not interviewing suspects, it's not the investigation itself, it's not evidence, it's convincing witnesses to tell us what they saw.
he says he doesn't know where the fear comes from. Do you?
Well, I can't say that I really exactly know where the fear comes from. I would say nationwide there's a disconnect between law enforcement and the community. There's a lot of distrust. So a part of my reach is the outreach. Part of my job as the outreach and support coordinator is to try to bridge those gaps. Part of the model that we follow, David Kennedy's model, is to bridge the gap between law enforcement, social service agencies, community providers, as well as the community, and try to gain the trust of individuals in the community and let them know that there is help there for you.
Well, that sounds great, except how do you do that?
Well, one of the things that we do as a following the model is that with the EGV group violence intervention model, back in the early 80s, David Kennedy started this coalition between law enforcement, community providers, social service agencies, and they just got out into the community. They engaged the community and began to find out what the needs were in the community. At the same time, in Boston, a pastor by the name of Eugene Rivers began to do what he called the 10-point coalition. So he got area pastors together who would go out into the community, not so much to proselytize, but to go into the community and engage the community, find out what their needs was, assess it. So they were responsible for what we call the Boston Miracle. The homicide rate reduced from about 200 a year to about 20 to 30. So it was a significant decrease in homicides in Boston. Well, cities all throughout the nation have adopted this model, and so we have adopted it also. In some cities, they would call it Project Ceasefire. Here, we call it End Gun Violence. So what we're doing is we're taking that recipe, that model, and we're trying to say we've met with pastors within the community. I began to engage community leaders or neighborhood associate heads and begin to get ideas, not only educate them about what the initiative is about, but also get ideas from them on how we can get into the community and be able to offer this help, this social service component.
We have about a minute left, Gabby. How does law enforcement feel about the involvement of the community? Because law enforcement is not always totally welcoming to citizen action on this kind of issue.
I'm actually not sure how they feel about it. I know when I spoke with law enforcement, they wanted to emphasize that they were trying to do something, that they were acknowledging that this was a problem, that they recognized that community members were basically, in one of the people that I interviewed's words, fed up, and they recognize it. So that was mainly what I took away from it.